Welcome to another joint episode of Moms Building Community Podcast and Tomorrow's Table Podcast. You will notice something new. We have removed Solano from our title. Many moms across California and beyond have been joining us, and they have felt that the name Solano felt limiting to their audience. So we listen. We're now Moms Building Community, so every mom across California, the United States, and the world feels welcome to unite and carry this mission of our podcast forward. Moms bringing resources, organizations, leaders, and connections to our community, where tomorrow will be a resourceful community for us, our next generation, and many to come. In today's episode, we had the honor of sitting down with Mayor Pierre Washington of American Canyon for an incredible conversation. Mayor Washington is a pivotal leader who shows what it means to be transparent, real, and grounded, not only as a mayor, but also as a family man and community man. With his background in U.S. Navy, decades in law enforcement, and now his role in city leadership, he brings integrity, heart, and vision to everything he does. We often picture leaders as flawless, but what makes Mayor Washington stand out is his authentic self, sharing real moments, lessons learned, and people who lifted him. His story reminds us that leadership isn't about perfection. It's about growth and resilience, which our youth need. Thank you, Mayor Washington, for being real, for being transparent, and for showing that true leadership is about lifting others up. Let's jump into this episode.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Miriam, and today I have Pokim and Rebecca, this is your first time. How do you feel?
I feel confident and excited and very much anticipating our conversation with Mayor Washington.
I know. I have been actually excited for this episode, and especially Mayor Washington. Pokim and I met him at Provision.
Yeah, at the cafe.
It's called Provision, right?
Yeah, I believe
Yeah, I want to actually go there. We're taking Jamila for her birthday there. Lunch. Yes, it's in Vallejo. Okay. It looks really nice. It's one of those, like, you know how they call it, the gyms. It has the best food. So maybe we'll ask Mr. Washington about that.
How did you like the food there?
Oh, I love the food over there. And, you know, it's a really diverse kind of restaurant, which makes it really nice. Vallejo's a really good, diverse area to live. So
yes,
you see a little bit of everything there.
Yes. But I would like to give you the formal welcome. I would like to welcome American Canyon Mayor Mr. Washington to this podcast, and we're honored to have you.
It's my pleasure.
Super honored to have you.
My pleasure to be here.
Would you introduce yourself and a little about your background and your journey to here?
Okay. I like to tell everybody I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, so I'm a Philly guy. I like Will Smith. Tell everybody I've played on the basketball ground for most of my life, and I also got in a little trouble, you know. And people don't start off by saying they got in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, at 16, I did. I went on a field trip, and it was a field trip with our class at 16 years old. We went to Independence Hall to learn more about Independence Hall and how the city of Philadelphia was the capital of the United States. During that trip, you know, I was feeling like I was clever and decided to break out my Sharpie and put my initials on the Liberty Bell. And I figured that, you know what, hey, everybody's gonna know Pierre Washington was here. Well, to my surprise, I did get arrested that night in front of all my friends. The officer that arrested me, his name was Officer Constantine, a 6'5" African-American police officer, took me to what we call the roundhouse in Philadelphia. The roundhouse is where we take processing and things of that nature when you're booking you into jail. So I just knew I was going to jail. Officer Constantine kind of mentioned to me that, you know what, nope, not going to book you. I'm going to call your father. And I'm like, oh no, Sue, please. Book me, don't call my dad.
Yep. Do you think he probably knew that was worse?
Well, my expressions and my mannerisms that night probably showed him that, yeah, this is the right decision for this kid. Well, about 20 minutes later, my dad showed up. Officer Constantine took my dad to the back. 30 minutes later, my dad came back out, says, you're going with me. And I'm like, no jail? And he says, no jail. Get in the car. So I'm thinking, well, I got out of that one like a fat rat. You know, but we started going in a direction opposite of North Philadelphia. We started going towards South Philadelphia, is where the international airport is. My father then told me that I'm getting on an airplane. Back then, it was Eastern Airlines. I'm not sure if any of you realize Eastern Airlines. It was the same time TWA was out there and Pan Am. But TWA, he put me on a TWA plane and he sent me to live with my aunt. And not like Will Smith, I didn't go to Bel Air. I ended up going to San Antonio, Texas. And I lived there for 2 years with my aunt and tried every which way to try to get back to Philadelphia during those 2 years. And from that, you know, I know today that back then it was the best move that ever happened in my life. It was the fork in my road, which direction I was going to go in. All my friends back there now today are either in jail, dead, or sick. So I think the decisions that were made for me from Officer Constantine, from my dad, and from my auntie has made me who I am today.
Wow, really that is powerful. Mm-hmm. First of all, I would like to admire that you started as a mayor, not to say any generalizing, but nobody would start with what you went through. Also, what's admirable about this is you're telling the youth that you can go through obstacles, barriers in your life. However, you can, where you're at, I would have never known that was your background.
Yeah.
And it's so important that you had that support from your father and your aunt. And that's amazing for somebody that's young, like anyone that's listening, or for parents, for their kids, that the one, like you said before we started the podcast, that one that doesn't define you. Today is what defines you.
Yes.
Right.
I agree.
It for sure shaped him into a much better person.
Yes. Probably if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't be who you are today.
I would say that. I agree. Yeah. I think that everything I've gone through, and I'm a man of faith. I should have started off with that for sure.
Yes.
And I just think that all the things that happened in my life happened for a purpose to make me realize where I am today.
That's amazing. I mean, maybe I'll tell my son to do a Sharpie thing like you are, so maybe he will learn something.
I don't know if that's
going to
be a good idea.
I don't know if we want someone knocking on our door at nighttime.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody encouraging me to do it. I thought I was just going to do it.
Well, you wanted to be a leader from the beginning. You wanted your name somewhere, right?
I wanted my name
somewhere. So now your name is all over.
That's right.
Being said, like I told you, we usually, our procedure is when we have a guest, we post, this is our upcoming guest. We get our listeners to engage with us where they could submit their questions. With you, we had so many positive feedback, and at times it was a little scary. We didn't want to post anything because people are really protective of you. They feel like you're their mayor, nobody else's.
I've been told.
So we're happy to share you with them.
Okay.
Yes. We're going to go into the questions. You have served 11 years on active duty and another 11 years in Navy Reserve, followed by 22 years in law enforcement before moving into city leadership. What core lessons from your military and policing career have shaped your leadership as a mayor today?
Well, I would have to say with both, I don't know if 22 is my number, because I did 22 years in law enforcement. I did 22 years in the Navy. Kind of broken up, 11 years active, and then 11 years in a reserve with the Navy. But I think what the law enforcement gave me was the foundation that I needed in public safety. With the military, I was able to understand and learn the discipline piece of my leadership skills. I understood and learned the teamwork part of being a mayor, and I also learned that I needed to be mission focused. So those things really helped me out from the military. And in law enforcement, I understood the importance from being able to listen to people and be able to empathize with people and the hurts that they go through on a daily basis. But I also got to say that I've had personal things that happen in my life too. I'm on my second marriage. I learned from my first marriage that I can't focus just all on work. I need to focus on family. I didn't really have my faith in place at the time, early on in my career. But God has always been working in my life. I always felt like, you know, whenever I got in some kind of trouble, God sent one of his angels down just to get me out of it, because he had a purpose for me. Not always those purposes, in my opinion, were something that I thought that I needed to do, but he had a bigger plan for me. I think having four daughters, I have seven kids, but I have four daughters. I think four daughters, I thought that God was pretty comical on that. He had a sense of humor. But what I got out of that was that it taught me how to listen. So often early on with my oldest daughter, who's now 39, I learned through her that I can't control her world. And I tried to do that, and it distanced our relationship early on. The three other daughters that came in after her served a purpose in my life to make me understand that it's not about me telling someone else what they need to do, because that's not what happened with me in my life. But it was something that my daughters all told me as they got older, was that, Dad, you know what we love most about you is that you listen. You don't try to fix our problems. You allow us to just tell you what our problems. And whether they know it or not, that was probably one of the most impactful advices I've ever gotten in my entire life. So where I tend to not tell people that I know everything, which I don't, I do listen, and then I actually do learn more from listening. So I think everything that's happened in my life, from my early years, like I mentioned, the trouble I got into, learning moment, having my first marriage and not spending the time that I should have been doing with the family, learning message, a learning moment. Having my daughters, listening moment, another learning moment. So, and then having my boys. I have three boys, and I knew what it took for me to stay out of trouble, and I've done everything I could to keep them active on sports, in their schoolwork, their social skills, and in their faith. All a combination of things that I think that's going to make them good citizens. And I'm proud to say now I have seven kids who have all graduated from high school, graduated from college, that are all successful in their careers. No one has done any time in jail. I'm not saying that if you do time in jail that you can't become good, because I came very close to that. But I think my military time, my law enforcement time has all built me up to where now that I'm in this mayor role, it's really come to pass to where, hey, look, I'm utilizing everything I've learned over those years.
Wow. We love a girl dad. We love a girl dad. So
it's just, he's just taken all his life experience and just taking it and just teaching us too.
Yeah. I feel like very good advice. You're someone who has very consistently evolved throughout your whole life, both professionally and privately. And there's something to be said for continuing to learn, you know, and learning to listen too is
I think that's the good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listening,
that's such an important,
it's so important. You learn more from listening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's amazing that you pinpointed that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been very helpful.
Yeah. So what inspired your transition from public safety sector to the city governance, and how did your early experience inform your decision to run for public office?
Well, I'd be the first to say that I'd never even thought about running for public office. Even the first time I ran for city council, it was more of a conversation I had with a couple of my friends over dinner at a restaurant in American Canyon called Estrada. We were joking about what we wanted in American Canyon. And I mentioned to my friends, I'm like, yeah, we should have this, or we should have that. We need to have a winery. We should have a town center. And then all my friends were like, yeah, why don't you make that happen, Pierre? I'm like, well, what do you mean me make that happen? That's not what I'm going to do. And then my wife, Sherilyn, we've been married for 25 years now, was the first one to stand and told me, they said, look, you know, I hear you complaining, but I remember when you were in law enforcement that you used to always tell me that before people complain about being a cop, they should walk in the cop's shoes to understand what a cop does on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's right. And she says, before you start complaining about those city council members and that mayor, why don't you take a walk in their shoes? I'm like, oh no, now you give me the advice of my own advice back to me. And then everybody on the table were like, yeah, no, we're serious. You should do this. So in 2018, I said, okay, you guys think it's a hard thing to do? I'll do it. And I ran, and I did not win. I did not win in 2018, but I came pretty close. But what I gathered through that first campaign was a sense of, hey, I kind of like what I learned about myself through campaigning, what I've learned about my community and through campaigning, and what I learned about the opponents that I was running against. And then what happened was that I missed it by close to about 200 votes. And I said, man, had I just knocked on maybe 201 more doors, I would have gotten in there.
Yeah.
And I immediately started campaigning after those results, maybe 2 days later. And I told my wife then, I'm like, hey, look, you know, I can't give up on this. This was something that I came pretty close to. And I really endeared the people that I met. And I think that kind of helped me out while in 2020 when I ran, I had a lot of people that were already supporting me because they're like, hey, we know about this guy, law enforcement guy, military guy, and we like that. We don't have anyone that's on our council with that kind of background. And I was successful in 2020, and I became city council. 2 years later, 3 years later, became the vice mayor, enjoyed that role. And then I have the mayor prior to me, who's the mayor for the last 18 years, Leon Garcia, as one of my mentors on city council. Because I've always believed that whatever I was going to do, I needed to find somebody that I could trust and be mentored by. Because I think every position that you do in life, find that one person that can show you truth and wisdom. And Leon was that for me. And then in 2024, I was going to say, well, I've mission accomplished. I've done everything I needed to do. And Leon, again, my mayor for the last 18 years, mentioned to me that he wasn't going to run. And that it would be very important for him to be able to pass over that gavel to me. And I said, well, man, you're pulling at my heartstrings now, because it's nothing more honorable than having someone that you consider to be your mentor ask you to replace them. It was a suggestion and a recommendation that I couldn't I couldn't refuse. So here I am now. I'm the mayor of American Canyon.
And I'm glad you couldn't refuse it because, yep, you're sitting right here talking to us.
Yeah.
And telling us your amazing story. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think you touched on some of these points in what you were just saying, but after moving to American Canyon in 2006, you were elected to the city council in November 2020 and then to mayor in 2024.
Yes.
So was Leon part of that key moment or turning point that encouraged you to seek the mayor's office, or were there additional factors?
He was probably one of the main factors because, again, in my mind, I was like, mission accomplished. I've done everything I needed to do. But my church family also came back and was telling me about we need people of faith in city government and in just in the political world, period, because we've gone away from prayer and things of that nature. And I know that's not everybody's thing. And I'm not trying to preach to anybody to convert them, you know. But I do know that my faith are my core values. And that's what I lead by. And I figure that I don't have any personal agenda. I'm not trying to be the next congressman. I'm not trying to be the next president or anything like that. I just want to do what's good for my city. I want to do what's good for my children and the youth of our community, the seniors of our community. I've lived a lifelong just serving our country, our cities. And I think I do that well. I think that was what I thought God blessed me with, is that leadership skill. Early on, I mentioned I was in law enforcement. You know, when it was my will, I wanted to be the police chief. And I said I was going to do everything I could to become the police chief of Richmond. And I was on a fast track to become that police chief. But that wasn't what God wanted for me. I got an injury that retired me out early. And then I went through a whole year where I just didn't know what I was going to end up doing. But again, like I said, I think God had a plan for me. Did I think it was going to be being the mayor of American Canyon? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, right?
Absolutely not.
The universe is telling you need to be the mayor.
Yeah. And it's a good feeling. And the timing, you know, the timing's right.
For sure.
And I'm going to use all the skills that I've been blessed with over the years.
What another moment of adversity for you to have to end a career unexpectedly because of an injury and not know what you were going to do. And that's just, it feels like you've just continually,
I think it was just really
overcome obstacles.
The calling.
Yeah.
It really was meant to be.
Really how it's interesting how life lines up like that.
It is. It goes in circle, then it comes back and it guides you to where you want to be.
It does. Yeah. It does. I truly believe in it.
I truly believe
it. And I think it's important to note that a lot of people, when they go through an injury or something, when they fall down, they could use other paths, but it's important for your character. It always chose to use the right path and to use what you have as a leader to inspire others too.
Yeah. So these are great advice for all our listeners too.
Yes. I mean, with his story from the time that I have met you, I'm hearing the injury. That's a big thing. When someone gets injured, especially when it comes to law enforcement or any career like that,
give up.
That is the end. Yeah. And sometimes it could be affecting everything. But for yours, you again didn't make that your defining moment. Everything I see in you, you didn't make the fall or the failure or whatever happened as a negative way. You didn't define that. And that's so important to see.
Yeah, and I wish I could take all the credit for it. But I think, again, you know, my faith, I think God puts people in my life to make me, one, encourage. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say in the Bible says iron sharpens iron, you know.
It really is.
And when I retired from the police department, there was somebody there that told me, hey, look, you're too young to be retired. A part of my bio that doesn't really get mentioned is that after my law enforcement, there was a point where I was at one of my daughter's volleyball games and a guy came to me and says, man, you're too young to be retired. What are you doing with yourself? And I'm like, well, I'm still trying to figure it out. And he offered me a job to run the security program for a large pharmaceutical company called Genentech.
Yeah, we know what that is.
Yeah, okay. So I ended up running 12 sites in North America, their safety and their security program for about 12 years. They just recently sold the one site here in Vacaville in October. And transitioned to another company called Lonza. And at that point, I was saying, well, I'm running for mayor, so that'd be a good transition for me to go from, you know, biotech to the mayorship, provided I win. And then Lonza, lo and behold, they offered me, hey, look, can you just stay with us for another 18 months? Even if you become the mayor, we let you become the mayor, and we still want you to work because we want what you
bring. That means you're well
liked. Yeah, I get that feeling. There's nothing better than feeling like you're wanted, you know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I just count my blessings, and I feel that, you know, although I wanted to take the credit for making right decisions, it's just God put people in my life at the right time to, you know, inspire me and to lift me up and to let me know that it's not the end. So I often hear people say, I just wish I get a chance. And I just get chance after chance after chance after chance. And I got to contribute that to my faith.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
And it sounds like you you must be, yes, your faith, and I will not take anything away from that. But you also seem to really put your best foot forward to do a competent job. And then the citation on your support from your church, from your family, mm-hmm. from your friends. I think that's also incredible and important for people to know that a support group. It is amazing that you're so open about it. That
it's just like our podcast family.
Right. Miriam said just the other day when we were leaving Rotary, she was just like, everybody wants to do it alone, you know, by themselves. And you don't do it alone. You can get farther by
when you have a group of support.
Yeah. And just, it makes everyone feel better to be incorporated and wanted, as you said.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Rebecca. Yes, I actually believe I have always, when someone says you did this thing, I think, like you, I feel like, no, you did it with me. There is no I. I always tell my kids the same thing. There is no I. We're all a team. Your dad and I, you kids, we're a team. But sometimes when they don't listen, I tell them, remember, I'm the captain. Because they want to be the captain too. But it's very important when anything I do with youth, with our podcasters, without them, there is no podcast. Without them, there is no support system and community. When I have even a down day, these are the people that says it's okay. Or just even if they don't say okay, being with them, having a cup of water, them sharing their story, and then you get inspired to do more. Mm-hmm. And I think you, like you said, that has helped you, the support system, the group of people that are like-minded and are positive around you.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let me get us back on track.
Someone has to.
That was a soft direction. Yeah.
Like the 2024 mayoral race marked a shift in local leadership. What challenges and opportunities did you observe or anticipate transitioning from council member to mayor?
Well, running for mayor in 2024, for me, it wasn't about the title. I mentioned earlier, I was running after a title to be the chief of police. I wanted that. That was something that I wanted. Running for mayor was something that I was approached by my church family, my family, community members. And it was about stepping into a role with a broader responsibility and visibility for me. As a council member, I knew I was the voice of shaping policy, you know. And I think when I go back again, let me know if I revert too often. My military background taught me to understand my role, my responsibility, and I knew what I needed to do to make sure that a mission became accomplished. I'm using a lot of analogies. You could have a basketball team, but everybody can't be the shooter. You know, you got to have a passer. You got to have a blocker. Play your role. Do your role to the best of your ability. And that's what makes teams win. As a city council member, I knew my role. My role was to support the mayor, listen to the constituents, and make policy. Time and time again, I had people come to me and say, well, what do you think the police should do? What do you think the sheriff should do? What do you think the police chief should do? And I'm like, well, that's not my role. But people always wanted to bring me back to that was my career in the past. I'm like, I'm in a different role right now. I think we have a great police chief. Right now we have Rick Greenberg. He's our police chief. He's an awesome guy. Oscar Ortiz is our sheriff. They do amazing jobs. And I'm always looking at ways. And I remember when I was a police officer, when I would have a city council member tell me, this is what you need to do as a police officer. I'm like, you never knocked on a door where you had a screaming woman on the other side of the door. So how can you tell me how to be a police officer? So I remember those days. And so I would never insult our sheriff or our police chief by telling them what I think they should do differently. We're also in a community that I could proudly say that our community love our police department, our public safety, and I've never seen that, even when I was in Richmond. But I can say that I knew when I was on city council, I knew what my role was. And then transitioning now to the mayor, it's more responsibility. It's almost like being in a fishbowl. I'm not only representing my city, I'm representing my colleagues on council, and it's not just part of American Canyon. There's other cities, the surrounding cities around us, Benicia, how they look at American Canyon, I'm that first face that they think of. How our governor looks at American Canyon, I'm that first face that they think of. Our congressman, Mike Thompson, I've been spending a lot of time with him. He's an awesome guy, also a veteran, a Vietnam veteran at that. And I look at what he brings to the table, and I admire him. you know, and when I have opportunities to go out and do things, I'm always thinking, how can I best represent the city of American Canyon? And then always knowing that I gotta, one, show who my character is. I'm a man of God, first and foremost. I'm a husband, I'm a father. So I keep all those things in my mind when I'm talking. I know the importance of being respectful. And so those things all come from my past, understanding my role, my responsibility, understanding what the mission is and how do I get the mission accomplished. Also understanding that I'm going to have conflict and how do I de-escalate conflict in a professional manner and in a way to where I can leave a person and they still feel respected. Although we may not agree on a topic, we can at least walk away and say we still respect one another. And that's important. Our current council right now, I think my very first goal when I became mayor was to make us more of a team, you know, instead of working in silos. And that's my military piece, to say, hey, look, let's get the council together, get the council on the right track, because if the council is not on the right track, we can't send our city manager a definite direction of which way to go. I joked with them all early on by saying, you know, we have 5 council members with 5 different priorities. We've now just given our city manager 25 priorities. And you can't manage that. There's no way. There's no way to manage it. So I think I'm respected within my colleagues. And I think they like the structure. I'm a little different than how Leon was. Leon, by profession, was a nurse. So he's more of a giving person. Me, with my military, I'm more structured. I'm more mission-oriented. I run toward the problem. And I actually think my council colleagues appreciate that different approach. I think my city manager appreciates that different approach as well. And then the staff, because the staff, they're clear that, you know what, we have a leader who's not just dictating, but he's also a servant leader. He's leading by example. And I think that's what is most important in my current role. I think it's important for my sister cities to see, hey, this is the model that could be successful.
Yeah, and I see you're a leader. My dad used to say, you're the general that's on the field with your soldiers. Because my dad was a general. Mm-hmm. And he always used to say, a good leader is the one that the general is on the field with the soldiers. And I see most of the events you're there. Most of the time I see you, you're with your constituents. Mm-hmm. And you are seeing what the problem is. When you are there, you see what the people need and what they don't need. So that's really, you know, the main of, I when I see a politician, that's my number one thing. Are they on the field? Because how could you be a good leader if you're not on the field? What's going on?
True.
So I love that. And listeners, check out his Instagram page. It's fun too. Some things that you do is really fun.
It really is.
Yeah.
I've been stalking you on social media.
That's fun. Yes. I appreciate that.
Well, I love what he says about being hands-on. That's the best thing you can do is this life experience. The hands-on, being like really aware of what's going on, right?
Yes.
In order to know what's going on, you actually have to go out in the community, be involved and see exactly. So that's exactly what you're doing.
And our country was built that way. I mean, if you look at our very first president, George Washington, and I am a Washington.
Oh, you are a Washington, yes.
I am. And he led in the front. He was in the front of battle and everything else. In Valley Forge, again, being from Philadelphia, I learned about that kind of stuff. Because Independence Hall, where that Liberty Bell is, is where George Washington sat.
Oh, wow. There are parallels with you both. Have you felt that throughout your life?
In later life I have. And, you know, a fun fact. My father, his name is actually George Washington. Yeah, George Dempsey Washington.
Oh my gosh, we just learned something.
Oh, yeah.
A fun fact about
you.
That's a pretty cool fact, actually. So your platform emphasizes economic development, public safety, affordable housing, social equity, and increased diversity in city leadership. What specific initiatives are you most proud of advancing so far?
Well, I'm proud of all of them, but I think in order to make any of those things happen, again, the core group of people who are making the decisions need to be in alignment. I made the little analogy about all of us having 5 different priorities and then providing 25 priorities to our city manager. We recently had a workshop with all the council members, and we pulled out the 3 most important things that we want to see happen in American Canyon. And it was a really good workshop. And for me, I felt good that we have had the opportunity to be able to show our city manager that, hey, look, although we want everything, You know, we know it's going to be a process. Mm-hmm. But in order to make our city managers successful, our city staff successful, our residents happy, we got to have a plan that is achievable. And then also with that plan, we need to make sure that our city manager and the staff know that they have support. Part of my military background gives me the idea that when you send troops out to the field, you have to be able to send them out there prepared. And you have to be able to give them the air support when they need air support. You don't want to send them into a mission where it's a suicide type mission. And I know that's kind of drastic, but I think time and time again, where I see cities not making positive adjustments is when they send their city manager out there as the bad guy. What I've done with our city, or what I've accomplished with our city, or trying to accomplish, is to take all those arrows away from my city manager's back and have those arrows pointed at me. Not because I want to get those arrows at all, but it's about, in order for him to do his job, he needs to know that he has the support from the council and the mayor. And he's an extension of me. And because the council is the one who's going to hire your city manager and or fire the city manager. But I want him to be successful, so I got to give him those tools to be successful. And I want my city manager to realize that in order for you to be successful city manager, your staff needs to know that you have their back and their ear covered. So when I talk to the public and we communicate with what's going on in our city, some frustrated, I always go back to focus on me. Focus on me. And like you mentioned earlier, is that, hey, look, people love you. Well, it's kind of hard to get mad at a person that you love, right? So I did the same thing with our city to the south of us, Vallejo. I met with the mayor on several occasions. And at one point we had a toxic relationship, not me and her, but the cities did. And what I wanted to try to establish was when you guys go in your closed session, instead of just saying that city over there, American Canyon, or my closed session saying that city over there, Vallejo, put a face to it, you know? And so now my city council looks at Vallejo and they see Andrea and she's trying to make changes. When they see American Canyon, the goal is to see Pierre and how can we make our relationships better? And I think, to get back to your question, I think public safety is important. I think mm-hmm. affordable housing is important. Yeah. You know, the social equity and diversity is important. But it's not all that. It's how we finish at the end of the day. How do we sit there and make our leaders understand that that's the priority of our community as well as our city?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a leader speaking, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
This is leadership in action.
Yeah, right. You also highlighted revitalizing downtown, supporting small businesses, and championing disability rights. Could you share how these goals intersect and shape your vision for American Canyon future?
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's actually a great question. Supporting local businesses, we have an amazing Chamber of Commerce. And again, it's about taking all of our resources and utilizing our resources and support resources and then giving them the funding needed to be successful in what they do. And it's more than just saying, hey, look, we got a new restaurant, we got a ribbon cutting today. Mm-hmm. And you make all the fanfare about it the day of the event, and then you don't go back. I make it my goal to go to all of our local restaurants that open up. I'm there. We just recently had one, 110, and I'd love for you guys to come out to 110.
110?
We're there.
We'd love to go, yeah.
A beautiful restaurant, and my wife and I, we visit them, you know, 3-4 times a week.
Oh, nice.
And it's about getting that business started. It's about getting the name of the business out there.
Building that connection, right?
Building that connection. Yeah. And the majority of our restaurants are actually owned by residents who also live in American Canyon. That's a win-win, you know? So showing them that we're going to have our staff meetings in their restaurants, or we're going to, or if I'm going to meet somebody, meet me at the restaurant. It's actually why the mayors, myself, Mayor Andrea Soares, and Mayor Steve Young from Benicia, we rotate and we visit each other's restaurants. And we make sure that we take pictures with all the restaurant owners so that everybody goes out and when we post it and tell everybody, hey, come out to these restaurants. That's where we met you guys.
Where I met you. And then now you're here sitting right in front of us.
Yeah. So it's how you make those connections. And people, like my kids say, Dad, you're a celebrity. I'm like, I'm not a celebrity. I'm going out there just to try to mingle and get people to come to these other restaurants. But we're doing a disservice when we sit there, just do a ribbon cutting and then forget about a restaurant or a business. It's about supporting the t-shirt companies. It's about supporting, you know, the mom posh stores. We have great restaurants, great hotels to go to. And I support them in every which way I can. We have a nice bike shop that just opened up just recently. I got my bikes all tuned up at the bike shop.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's a really innovative approach, mm-hmm. making sure you're out there, you're posting it on social media to build community in kind of an older way.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Like bringing the community together.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great way to promote the business, yeah. mm-hmm. and more outreach too.
I mentioned our Chamber of Commerce, Valerie, who's our CEO. She does an amazing job. And about 4 years ago, we had what we call Meet Me in the Street, where we closed down one of our streets. And then we had a bunch of our vendors, you know, in American Canyon, outside American Canyon, put in their bids to participate. And the first year was really good because it was the first year we did it was really good because we were coming out of COVID. And it was one of those first things that we did to get people out the house and back out into the community. And people were just dying to get out of the house and then see one another. And it was one of those reunion type things that first year. But every year now in June, July, and August, the second Wednesday of each month, we have Meet Me in the Street, and it's fantastic. And we have every year it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. And we have different businesses come out, and even from Vallejo, Benicia, they're also coming out. But we're highlighting our local businesses in American Canyon, and it's a great way for people to see what we are all about.
Absolutely!
Wow!
Absolutely!
I just love what you're doing. Thank you, Mayor Washington.
It's not just me. It's the whole community together. It's the community making it happen.
But the fact that you're out there and you're following up and you're bringing community together and you're posting and you're promoting and you're constantly following up, that means so much to us.
Yes.
Yeah, that means so much. It's so impactful.
Yes.
Yeah.
For us as podcasters, our job is to bring resources, right? And we see how hard at times it could be to bring attention to the things that help people. Mm-hmm. And for you, like Rebecca said, the innovative way of you each meeting at restaurants and then posting about it. And like I said, we made that connection there. So it is working.
It is working.
It's
working.
Yes. Yes. That is so innovative and such a good leadership. I think
great example to set for, especially for the younger
generation. I'm learning from him. I'm like, oh wow, is
great.
We're
already doing it, but now the way how he's approaching it, I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Yes, because also when you go to a restaurant, is you're buying a drink, you're buying food, you're helping that owner. And I think for you, from what I'm seeing, is a lot of. I'm not going to generalize because that's something I try to stay away.
Okay.
But I think most politicians or anyone that's in a higher power, they sometimes do things, I think, for the show of it. Yours is not for the show. You're in it for the long run, and you are doing things to help the people. And you're not like, I'm not here to just show up here. I'm here every week. I'm to this event. I'm going to the restaurants. So, I mean, it's refreshing to see that.
That's the word.
Yes.
Refreshing. It's a natural way to do it. That's okay. The word. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
And some of the questions were going back. So if anything we have missed or you have, so our listeners would know it.
Okay.
You did mention you do a lot of volunteering.
Yes.
And then you volunteer with groups like Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Lions Club, and Faith Bible Church food distribution efforts. How important is this kind of grassroots engagement to your role as a mayor?
I think it's very important because that's where the people are. When you say volunteer for the Veterans of Foreign War, for me, it's a responsibility, not just so much of a volunteering piece. I'm a veteran. I know that the VFW, those folks there, they're veterans as well. And it's just giving back, you know, and keeping them encouraged. So many veterans need help. And that's one of the main resources that a lot of veterans go to get that help. The Faith Food Friday is another thing where people are struggling. You know, they're struggling to make ends meet, and food distributing pantries are where a lot of people are going now just to get their food. I mean, I always say that any given day, you could lose your job and you could find yourself in one of these pantries. And it's good that we have people who are volunteering to support these pantries because they're making a difference in people's lives. I've had friends who have told me that, I have taken advantage of going to food pantries just so I can make a meal at home. No one should starve. I mean, we pay NBA players, football players, millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, and that we in our own communities have people living in tents. We have people that can barely make it to the next day without understanding where they're going to get their food from. And, you know, if I could give a sense of kindness, I will take advantage of that. And then you have the Lions Club, which is a club that helps people. Their motto is, we serve. And I fell in love with that once I saw that model. And basically, they help a lot of people with vision requirements to help them see. We collect glasses to kind of help third world countries to be able to help kids who are in those third world countries be able to see. So we do a lot of serving in that part. And we have a pretty active group in American Canyon. Could be a little bit more, but we'll get there.
I think yeah. so. It'll come.
Definitely.
Because your leadership will, they'll follow.
That's right. Just be there when they do come.
Mm-hmm. And in recent videos, you emphasize transparency in tax dollars and how it's used. How are you working to manage public funds responsibly while addressing growing community needs?
Well, in my role, and like I said, you know, you got to understand the roles, and I'm not a financial wizard at all, but I also know in my role that if I need to know something about finances, I go to the finance person. We have a great financial director in Juan Gomez in the city of American Canyon. We also on council have the fortunate of having a prior financial guru in Mark Joseph. He's my vice mayor right now. And he's somebody that I use a lot to kind of get my understanding of the financial needs of the city. But my responsibility is to treat every dollar with care, making sure it's spent wisely and always with the residents' best interests. And I think as long as I keep focused on that, we'll be okay with it. What I see in certain cities that fail is when they misappropriate the funds that the residents have entrusted in the leaders like the mayors and the city council members, and they don't do the right things. So again, surrounding myself with people who have the character to understand the financial budget, be able to present it. Myself and Mark Joseph, the vice mayor, we meet quarterly to go over our police department's budget, our city budget, our fire department budget. And I think I'm well informed. And I believe we have good stewards looking over the financial pieces of our budget.
Wow.
So, I mean, you did kind of mention this disparity between paying NBA players millions of dollars and having people in our local communities living in tents. So that all said, with infrastructure, code enforcement, and budget limitations competing for attention, you kind of started to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prioritize strategic fiscal planning without compromising on essential services for your community?
And that's a good question. And I say that fiscal planning is a balancing act. You know, we have to be responsible with our budget while never losing the sight of the things that make a city run. And that's the facts of the essential services. And you kind of highlighted it with the public safety. The majority of our funds in American Canyon, like any city, would go to public safety, your fire and your police department. And it's not just their salaries. It's making sure that they have the proper equipment, the proper training to be able to respond to calls. Water is a very important factor that you got to consider in any city. The roads, because no one wants to have to ride in potholes and then turn around and get maintenance on their vehicles. And then one of the most important things is the parks and rec, quality of life for our residents. We just recently had a park foundation fundraising event on Saturday. Our parks director, Janelle Selick, we have a location that we're going to make our town center in American Canyon. And she used that area for a fundraiser, and she did very well. She's always doing an awesome job collecting money to try to help with our parks foundation. And to me, that's another community member that ended up being a major resource to collecting money for parks and to make sure that the youth of our parks are preserved, our open space areas. We have some beautiful wetlands. She's doing an amazing job with the Eco Center that we're about to, actually is why we did the fundraisers, to have the Eco Center to come into fruition in the next couple of years. And it's going to actually place us on a map. You know, people will come to American Canyon to see our wetlands, the wildlife out there, and that's important. So again, being able to balance the things that we need to do for the betterment of our city, our residents, and even the youth. To me, that's one of the most important things because they're our future. When I talked about mentorship earlier, I think sometimes we fail to realize when youth ask us questions, they're looking at us. They're looking at us for that guidance. They're looking at us for hope. And then we need to do the same thing back to them. We need to look for them. You are our hope. And what do I need to do to put things in place to get you to be a winner? 4 years ago, my first year on city council, Emily Bitt, which is a senior high school student, and came to me and says, you know, no more fossil fuel stations in American Canyon, please. And she and a couple of other students from American Canyon High School, Napa High School, spoke with me about the importance of preserving our wetlands, our air quality, and that we didn't need any more fossil fuels. And It was about climate action. And I'm a true believer today in climate action. Not because I doubted it that it wasn't true in the past, but the passion that the youth had to convince me that this was something that was important to them, and they didn't have the ability to vote at the table because they're too young to vote. So they depend on my vote. And to this day, we don't have any more gas stations that are going to be coming inside of American Canyon. And I attribute that to the youth.
It gives me the chills because you, with action, you facilitate a voice for them.
Yes.
So that's just amazing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. But again, didn't do it by myself. I did it with a great council. Mayor Leon Garcia was there at the helm at that point, and he was able to listen. We just needed to get the youth in front of him, wow. In front of the council.
Right. Mm-hmm. You said our youth are our future.
They are.
And that's why we're doing this podcast, too, because we empowered the next generation with resources.
And you guys are doing great.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. As a father, 7 adult children who enjoys RVing and camping, how do you maintain personal well-being, family connections, and while leading a city and serving on multiple committees?
Well, it's again, back to balancing.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, my wife and I, we're empty nesters, so it makes it a whole lot easier. We're not going to volleyball games, soccer games, and softball
like me
games.
And
I'm sure that's what you guys are doing right now. But with all those things, I think I go back to my military upbringing and law enforcement upbringing and just having a structure. Having a plan and then sticking to that plan and understanding the mission makes it easier. If you just got a bunch of ideals and you're throwing it on a whiteboard and you got ideals, but how do you get to the next step is important. For me, I know when I tell people I like the RVing and camping, that's my moment where my wife and I get to unplug and we get out there, and I need that too. And I learned that, like I mentioned earlier, from my first marriage, I didn't do those things. It was all work. I got to be the chief of police.
Yeah,
I got to get there.
You
know. So I look at those type things and I say, well, that wasn't a good strategy. And how do I fine tune, look at the gaps of where I was not successful and become successful? And then part of it is, you know, like they say, you know, if your wife ain't happy, you know, nobody's going to be happy at home.
Yeah, so. That is very true.
What is it? Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life. And that is a real
thing. And I do know we mentioned earlier about what helped me make my decision. What made my decision to move forward for the mayor was knowing that I had my wife's 100% support. Mm-hmm. Without that, I would not be able to do it. With having kids at home, I would not be able to do that. But I think, again, I go back to my faith that things happen at the right times for me. My wife was 100% about, hey, look, I think the city needs you. You know, the kids are gone. You need something to do. Keep you busy.
Yeah.
Keep you sharp. You know, you're about to retire from the biotech company. You don't have any ulterior motives. You know, let's do this. And so I think my balancing of time, I'm good. I know how to manage my time. And I do know that I need to give quality time for my wife, my faith, and my children.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. So pretty much timing for sure is important. And honestly, you can do anything. It's just you got to wait the time. Mm-hmm. You said you can't do it because when you have little kids. But the timing when your kids are older, then you're like able to do more.
Yeah. And it's quality time too. I mean, it's not just do the time. You got to do the time and you got to feel the time. You got to be in the time. You know, a lot of times I go to dinner with my family and I watch people in the restaurant and I see family sitting and everybody at the table is on a phone. And I'm like, man, they don't even know where they are. And half the times they're all posting about where they are, but they're not enjoying where they are, you know? And I'm like, what is going on?
Okay, so I was doing that when social media was a big thing. And then I started to notice, you know what? I'm not going to post. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy the moment and I'll post like a week later.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm slow at posting my personal stuff because I kind of just want to enjoy what's going on at that moment.
That's right.
And kind of just take it in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the first Sunday of every month, my wife and I decided that with the 7 kids and the significant others of the 7 kids and the grandkids, that we will make the first Sunday of every month family day. So between 3 and 7 on the first Sundays of every month, we have all the kids come by. They've orchestrated it into their agendas that, hey, look, we don't plan anything on that first Sunday.
I'm going to copy you when my kids get older. I'm going to make that a family tradition.
And I sat there last night and I just, you know, my wife sat next to me and they all were just commingling with one another. And we were just saying we did well.
Yeah.
We did well.
You did really well. I mean, really first well. Seven kids. With two, I'm like, how am I going to get this three. Together?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And with seven, all of them graduated, all of them healthy. And I think the most important thing is, as I have grown, it's that they're healthy, productive adults.
Yes.
Because sometimes we focus our kids to be the next ed thing or best thing. But what I realized over time is healthy, productive adults, you and your wife accomplish that. So I think I'm going to come intern for you for a while so my kids could be.
Come on over. Come on over. And that's the one thing that we do post. I think my wife put it together last night on Instagram. We do take that one picture where we all take a picture. And the fun part about the picture, we have a room that we post all these family day pictures.
Uh-huh.
And we get to watch how our grandkids grow. You know, I get to watch how gray I get. You know, but it's fun to go back 6 years and see what has happened, you know, which grandkids were here, which ones weren't here, which ones are coming, you know, watch my daughters and my daughter-in-laws, you know, going through their pregnancies. And so it's really nice to kind of unplug from the city stuff, unplug from work stuff, and then plug fully into the family.
I fully agree. I think it's the balance.
Perfect advice. Yes. That's exactly. And we both needed to hear this, all three of us. We needed to hear that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And our listeners too.
It's a good Monday for us.
It is.
Right.
We need to
focus more on
that. I already
knew
that, but it was nice to hear from Mayor Washington, and he's doing the exact same thing. And so it's really inspirational to me to remind me that, yes, I am doing
but
it.
But don't get too relaxed because our job is media.
Miriam's like, oh, we still got to go work.
It is inspiring, especially thinking about how that was a lesson learned for you. And that evolution to have that family night came through listening and, you know, accomplishing those each milestone in your life that you've accomplished. So hats off to you, Mayor Washington.
Thank you.
Speaking of milestones, looking ahead, what key milestones would you like to see achieved in American Canyon by the end of your current term in 2028?
First, that's a good question. I actually get asked that quite often. I have people already ask me, you know, so are you going to run again in 2028?
Yeah.
You know,
they want you to.
I know they do. I know they do. And I want us all to be well on our way for one of the projects that we call Watson Ranch. It's actually a new development that we have in American Canyon where we have a bunch of homes being built. We also have our town center being built. But it's not just a development project. I think we want to strive to have a village in our community so we could have the right housing requirements for affordable housing, the right housing requirements for the workforce that need to be able to be local and not have to travel so far to be able to afford a place to live. Schools, I think we need to focus on schools and make sure we have adequate schools because we're a growing city. We have one high school, one middle school, three elementary schools. And in order to grow, you can't build the schools after you have all the people. You need a plan to have the schools so when the people come, they will fill those desks. Again, it's about strategic planning, making sure our parks are taken care of, quality of life. I think parks are really important for the mental health of our community, be able to get out, you know, get away from the workforce, and our economic opportunities to keep our families here and attract new homes for people to want to be here. I think that's important. Second, I'd like us to make big strides in the infrastructure of our transportation piece. You'll probably hear time and time again between Vallejo, American Canyon, and all Napa Valley that there's so much traffic. And it's not always that it's a bad thing. You know, traffic just means you got people. They want to be where you are, you know. So all of California is experiencing that. So it's not just isolated to American Canyon or our area. But Highway 29, regionally, we need to do a better job with connecting. But that means partnership with other cities in Napa Valley. And it's not just the city of American Canyon's responsibility. It's a regional thing. So we have the Napa Valley Transit Authority, we have Caltrans, we have to work with all those entities, we have to work with all the developers to make sure that we do have an area that people can kind of sit there and say, oh yeah, you know, we have a decent flow. And for the most part, in my opinion, it's just during the peak hours of the day that we have a lot of traffic, which may need us to look at other innovative ways of doing things, maybe starting our shifts at company or jobs at different hours, starting schools, you know, some schools early, some schools later, to kind of offset the traffic jam for the school drop-offs. Just changing some of those habits is important. Third, I'd say we need to see stronger community identity and pride. And what I mean by that is whether we expand some of our cultural events that we have in our city. American Canyon is probably one of the most diverse, or what it is, not even probably, it is the most diverse city that we have in all of Napa County, similar to Vallejo. And we just need to embrace the culture diversity that we do have. And I just think that the city could do a good job in encouraging that piece. Along with that, I think it's important for our city government to have people that work in City Hall that look like the people that live in American Canyon. I say the same thing about our schools. I say the same thing about the police department, fire department. There's black kids or Hispanic kids that need to see black people in the police department, or black people who are teachers, or Hispanic people who are teachers. It's important. And I think that the city staff need to resemble that same way. I take my hat off to my city manager, Jason Holly. That was one of my first things my first year. I said I wanted to see a little bit more diversity. And he's cashed in on that. I mean, when I look at the city staff, I'm really proud of what I see. And not just the lower positions in our city staff. Some of the senior leadership are African-American, Hispanic, women, you know, that are doing things. So I applaud my city manager for listening and doing, and not just staying with the status quo. So I think that's important as well. Finally, I'd like us to be seen more of a regional leader in a collaboration for our city. I think that the partnerships from cities like Vallejo, Benicia, that surround us, if they see that we're doing things and figure that, you know what, we want to be just like them. We want to be like a city that's growing. They understand what their sustainability requirements and partnerships are for our city. You know, partnering with Napa County leaderships, partnering with Solano County leadership, partnering with federal leadership. We're one of the only places that's going to be serving a big event for our Vietnam veterans in October, from October 16th through October 19th of this year. It's a group called The Wall That Heals. And what that is to give our Vietnam veterans the proper welcome home ceremony. And some of those veterans who still feel as though they have not been properly welcomed home during that era will have an opportunity. It's a really nice replica of a wall that's going to be at our Com Park 2 location, which has just been changed the name to Independence Park in American Canyon. And it's a 4-day event. And we have veterans from all over the place that's going to be coming out. Congressman Mike Thompson, like I mentioned earlier, he's going to be there leading the way. He's a wounded Purple Heart veteran from the Vietnam War. And I just think we just need to say thank you. You know, I know it's a common theme where you hear people say thank you for your service, but I mean, really just thank these guys that came back and were not welcomed at that point. And I think we all realize now the important roles that they played. So I think in my first term as mayor, I'm on track, but I need to know that those milestones is not just about me. It's about the community understanding and embracing that accomplishment. I think that with that, we can, one, honor the trust that our residents have given us as leaders. And, you know, at that point, I'll do that barometer check on myself to see if this is where God wants me to continue to serve.
Yeah.
And if that's His will, and if that's the community's will, I'll still be around.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Those are such great information.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful episode with you. And we want to say thank you so much for taking the time and being here. And we will see more of you.
Oh,
most definitely.
So.
You're going to see us out in the community.
Okay. Yes, you will see us.
You're out in the
events.
Community. We're going to be out.
Okay.
We're going to be out with you.
I welcome you to come.
Yes.
I welcome you to come.
Thank you. Thank you for the energy. Thank you for Monday motivation. We don't need anything today.
No, we're good. We're good.
Thank you all for even doing this. I think that it's good because it's another resource to just kind of get
exactly.
that information out
bringing
there.
Bringing more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And also, I think the focus when it comes to the youth, that relatability where a politician like yours, all of us at that age, where it felt like untouchable. And is he going to listen to me? Mm-hmm. But when you talk about when you listen to the high school kids regarding gas stations, and now the rest of the youth, they can connect with you and relate to you. And there's someone that does listen to them.
Yes, that's important. I know it is.
It's very. Well, till next time, it's goodbye from us.
Yes, goodbye.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you.